find on the table our new book, The Abounding Grace of the God of All Grace, and about 60 other books we published, most of them containing much of the message we're giving at this time. Our text is found in Job 14:10. Man dieth, man wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Man dieth, man wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? If it's true, according to some, that 20 billion people have lived on this earth since Adam left the Garden of Eden, 18 billion of them have died. Where are they? In the 115th Psalm, we read, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Well, what proportion of the 18 billion have been saints? It doesn't say, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the sinner." Have you ever heard, I hope you don't make a habit of it, if you've ever heard frank and earnest, you'd think it is blessed in the precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of everyone. Some years ago when I was in evangelistic work, I preached on the three words that are translated hell in the Bible, Tartarus, Gehenna, Hades, and showed how they were different from the lake of fire. He was a very intellectual young man. He was a brilliant student in a way. He graduated with honors. He was a doctor. He says, "I don't believe what you preach today." I said, "Is it in the Bible?" He said, "Yes." I said, "If you believe the Bible, you'd have to believe it, wouldn't you?" He said, "Yes." And he said, "I don't need that." He said, "I'm moral and upright. I have good health. And God has blessed me." And I said, "Well, why did Jesus Christ die on the cross?" "Well, I don't know." "Well," I said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And Christ said, if you believe not that I am, ye shall die in your sin. And the Bible says, for those who die in their sins, it's appointed once to die, and after this, the judgment." "Well, I don't believe it." "Well," I said, "let me ask you something. We've talked a little while." Now, I said, "some years ago, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, godliness is profitable unto all things, having the promise of this life, as well as that life which is to come." I said, "suppose there were no hereafter, no heaven, no hell, and I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Bible says the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now you don't have that. You don't have that joy and peace because that is by the power of the Holy Spirit, and you have never received the Holy Spirit." I said, "if I'm wrong about the hereafter, I have peace and joy and victory delivered from an accusing conscience." I said, "isn't that good enough even for this life?" And after we talked for a little while, I said, "now suppose you're wrong, and you will go to hell if you do not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Suppose this word is true." Now, for some of the young people here, I don't like to repeat what he said, but it's very significant. He said, "Mr. O'Hare, if you are right, I'm going to be in a hell of a fix." Or was I right? And you know what he did before he got through? I saw him the next day, and he said, "I'm going to place safety first, and I'm going to receive Christ as my Savior." Well, whether it's safety first or whether it's safety last, anybody is a fool who will take chances according to God's word. Now, where are the dead? Where are you going to find out? There are over 1,000 established religions in the world, and every single one of them has a different idea as to where the whereabouts of the dead. You can only find out by studying the Word of God to find out where they are. Everyone who teaches soul destruction, soul sleeping, or the unconscious state of the individual between death and resurrection, if they believe in that, they quote one verse of Scripture. That's all they can quote. That is Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatsoever thy hand, now get it, your hand, not within, your hand, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Therefore they teach that both the believer and the unbeliever is unconscious between death and resurrection. They teach that soul is breath, and when your breath is gone, you're dead. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Therefore, the soul, like the body, is dead, and the soul knows nothing. Now, you will remember the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter 1. And by the way, I'm speaking tonight on the best news that was ever given to the human race, along with the fact of the words of Christ in John 11:25-26, when he stood there. You know that Lord Jesus Christ let Lazarus die for the glory of God. He knew that sickness was unto death, but he said it was for the glory of God. He stayed away purposely so Lazarus could die, so he could teach the human race something. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, or in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. What did Christ mean when he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat of me and never die? Never die. There are some people who will never die. Now, you know that does not refer to your body. Because he said, I would not have you sorrow even as others which have no hope, concerning them which are asleep. But the good news tonight we shall speak on, 1 Corinthians 15, we shall not all die. When we read yesterday that Russia is trying making another test of the hydrogen bomb, we're finding that our Cold War is going to turn into a hot war. When we see insurrection and revolution all over, when we see the visible church going to wreck all over, 300 and more different denominations, when we see that Christians are hedged in all around about us with ritualism, fanaticism, and modernism, all these satanic cults and the great religious political church that's growing and growing, when we see all of that, what's going to happen? Well, the statesman says it's going to be the collapse of civilization. If we don't, then civilization is going to be destroyed. Are we going to keep on dying? Is there anything that will put an end to this epidemic of death? Minimum of 2,400 people dying every 24 hours in the United States. death, death, death everywhere. Is there going to be an end to it? We shall not all die. You remember what Peter said? He said, shortly I must put off this tabernacle. Well, after I put off the tabernacle, and that tabernacle went to corruption, the I was still alive. The I that put it off did not die. You will remember what the Apostle Paul said in the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, undoubtedly referring to the time that he was supposed to be dead, whether or not he was dead. At Lystra, when they stoned him, they examined him, they put his body outside of the city, and they said, he's dead. In the 14th chapter of Acts. And this is what Paul said. He said, whether I was in my body or out of my body, I do not know. In other words, he could know just as well out of his body as he could know in his body. When you give up your earthly tabernacle, are you going to cease to know because of the 9th chapter of Ecclesiastes what the natural man said? He said back there, a man's no better than a beast. Do you accept that? Now in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, the Lord speaks of making his soul an offering for sin. He didn't say his body, his soul. I heard these men, I knew Pastor Russell, who started Millennial Dawn, then they became the International Students. I read every book that he put. I heard him lecture, met him personally. Heard him several times on Where Are the Dead? They have a little, then I heard Judge Rutherford. Now they're divided. Frank and Ernest are standing by Pastor Russell. And the Jehovah's Witnesses are taking a stand against them. So they have the two, but they're teaching virtually the same thing. Where Are the Dead? Of course, they're Unitarians to begin with. They deny the personality and deity of the Holy Spirit. They said that Jesus was Michael, the archangel, and the man Jesus is dead forever, that his body either dissolved into gases or God put it away in a hiding place, and that in October 1914, the day the 40 years of harvest had come to an end, and Christ has been in hiding, he manifested himself. Of course, he was going to set up his kingdom with his 144,000 in October of 1914, said Pastor Russell, measuring the times of the Gentiles, 7 times 360, added to the year 606 B.C., when Nebuchadnezzar went to Jerusalem. Then he said he made a mistake. He should have dated that from the second invasion of Babylon, and he changed the date. Then Judge Rutherford changed it, and they quit guessing now. They said the Lord's already here, and we're really, the millennium has started. And the 144,000 Israelites are mostly Gentiles. Think of that. And they're going to have a heavenly position, and the rest of the people are going to have a kingdom program here on earth. Well, last Sunday, they said, of course, Sheol means the grave. Sheol means the grave. It never means a place of punishment. Well, I wonder what they would do with the message in the book of Psalms. The wicked shall be turned into Sheol, and the nations that forget God. Why would it say the wicked shall be turned into hell if everybody's going to be turned into the grave? When David said, I go the way of all the earth, he added this, He said God is going to take this little child and has taken the child, and the child is dead. And he said, I cannot bring that child back to me, but I can go where the child is. He wasn't talking about the grave. And if you read in the 1 Kings 17, you'll find where the great prophet of God raised to life a little child who had died. He prayed to God. And he said, Oh God, let the soul of this child come back into the body. And the soul of the child came back into the body. But I was interested in the ignorance of these men who claimed to be Christians. When they came to the second chapter of Acts, he would not suffer his Holy One to see corruption, neither would he leave his soul in Hades. And he said Hades was the grave. I want you to get it. Where did Christ's body go? His body went to Joseph's tomb. Was that Hades? His soul went to Hades. Was that Joseph's tomb? And if these men knew one verse of Scripture, they'd quit their heresy. Isaiah 53:9, listen. He shall make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He made his grave with the rich in his death. D-E-A-T-H-S. Death. Christ suffered two deaths, and they know nothing about it. When we say we believe not with those who draw back unto perdition, we believe unto those who believe, we are with those who believe unto the saving of the soul. The saving of the soul. And let him know that he that converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death. Suppose someone in here would accept the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Does that mean that soul is breath and we can save you from suffering physical death? When you soul will save a soul from death, that doesn't mean that the body will not go to the grave. But it certainly means that the soul at death, what we call death, when it leaves the body, will go to be with the Lord. When the Lord Jesus Christ said in the 10th chapter of John, I have power to lay down my life, I have power to take it again. He didn't say life. He said soul. I have power to lay down my soul. And when he died on the cross, he gave up the ghost. Into thy hands, O Father, I commend my spirit. His spirit went to be with God. Ecclesiastes tells us, wherever the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the wheel, or the fountain at the wheel, brook at the cistern, then shall the body return to the earth as it was, and the Spirit to God which gave it. Stephen was dying. His body was going to corruption. He said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Paul added this in 2 Corinthians 4:16, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. And he tells us in the second chapter of Ephesians that all of those who are in Adam and out of Christ, they're dead already. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. We sat at home last night. We thought we might get some kind of recreation diversion some way. We turned to all four of the television stations three or four times of all the rot and corruption you ever heard. Now they're going to put on an educational one, and two-thirds of it will be evolution and against the Bible, just like our magazines and everything. Talk about getting hemmed in where we are today. Now we ask these questions. That Job asked Man wasteth away, yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? Where are we going to get the answer? The Lord Jesus Christ said, I have power to lay down my soul, I have power to take it up again. He laid down his soul. Where did his soul go? God would not suffer his Holy One to stay with his body in the tomb of Joseph, neither would he leave his soul in hell. Can you tell me how Jesus Christ could ever save us from hell if he hadn't gone to hell? Why did he say, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death? He wasn't afraid of physical death. Paul wasn't afraid of physical death. He says, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready to be offered up. Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary and by his resurrection destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil. He hasn't delivered us from physical death. When the airplane falls and crashes, when there's a crash out on the highway, when polio comes, the saints go with the sinners. And the death rate of the human race is one apiece. Until the time when Jesus Christ comes and changes these bodies of humiliation, that they will be fashioned like unto his body of glory. What the Apostle Paul said, the time of my departure is in hand, and I am in a strait twixt two desires. One, he says, it's needful that I stay here in the body and minister unto you, but as far as I am concerned, it is much more better to set out to sea to be with the Lord. When the Apostle Paul died, he set out to sea to be with the Lord. The sinner is dead in trespasses and sin. But he says, you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. He's made us alive. He's raised us up. He's made us to sit down in the heavenlies in Christ. Are there any worms up there? Worms destroy your body. Worms will never touch your soul. Where are you? If you are a saved person, if you have already passed out of death into life, you have been made to sit down. It's the same Greek where it says at the feast Jesus Christ sat down in a chair. And if you're a Christian, you've been made to sit down in the heavenlies, and you say, my citizenship is up there in heaven, and I'm looking for the Savior. When he comes, he will change this body of humiliation that it may be fashioned like unto his body of glory. In the meantime, 2 Corinthians 4:16, he said, though the outward man perish, rot thoroughly. Rot thoroughly. I told you, Dr. Hibbert and I went down to see a friend whom we led to the Lord a few years ago after a life of sin, many years in sin. And when we got into that room, we could scarcely stay in the room. I was in another one the other day, just the same. There was a saint, but the stench of that body was so that we had to get out of the room. That body was rotting thoroughly. But the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now death is not our hope. Our hope is to be here when the Lord Jesus Christ comes, as we'll learn tonight. But if death overtakes you, the Apostle Paul said, to be absent from this body is to be at home with the Lord. That's not down in Hades. That's where the unbeliever goes. What does it mean when Jesus Christ stood there with John in the Revelation and said, I am he that was dead, behold, I am alive forevermore. I have two keys. What do you need with two keys? I have the key of death. I have the key of Hades. Because death and Hades are going to the lake of fire unless you let the Lord Jesus Christ use the keys for you and before you leave this world. There's no hope in this Bible of a purgatory or probation after death or anything. Nothing. It doesn't say after you die there's a second chance. It says it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. I want you to know, my dear friend, that God is not a jellyfish of love. Man said to me, "You're human. You wouldn't send anybody to a lake of fire." I said, "No, and I wouldn't let my son die on a cross for such a rascal as you either." I want to tell you, if there isn't an eternal hell, God murdered his son on the cross. Why did he let the holy, sinless Son of God, who was not Michael, but he was Almighty God himself in human form? I had one of the Jehovah's Witnesses in the office not long ago. He said Jesus was a God, but he wasn't the God. I said, "Where do you get it?" I knew where he got it because I heard it explained by Pastor Russell. God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was Theon, a God. I said, "Yes, but 8 times he's called Theos, the God." And he played the one just like he plays Ezekiel 9:10 against the whole Bible. And I said, the 35th chapter of Isaiah said God would come down to earth and he would perform miracles. I said, Jesus Christ came down, and the greatest miracle was his resurrection. And when Thomas saw him in his resurrection, he said, "My Lord and my God." I said, "That isn't Theon, that's Theos." And when God brought his first begotten into the world, he said, "Let all the angels of God worship him. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God only, and him only shalt thou serve." And the Father said, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." And 8 times in the Bible, Jesus Christ is called God. And if he wasn't God, he couldn't communicate grace to a sinner. And the man Jesus isn't dead forever. If Jesus Christ didn't go home to heaven in the same body that he had here on earth, which underwent a change, then there is no resurrection. He's the first fruits of them that slept. How could he be Melchizedek without a body? And if there isn't a glorified man at God's right hand, our Christianity is nothing but a compilation of fables, exaggerations, and some kind of fiction. But now Christ has been raised. This man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin, sat down forever. There's a glorified man at God's right hand. He's waiting till all enemies be made his footstool. And don't you ever let any Seventh-day Adventist or Russellite or any of the rest of them rob you of the blessed hope and the wonderful truth of God's Word. To be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord. And behold, I show you a mystery, and I'll give you that mystery tonight if you'll come. We shall not all sleep. We'll not all die. We're not all going to the cemetery. The greatest number of Christians that ever lived on this earth are going. Then the empty shell of the professing church will be left here for an awful scourging. You know, when Pastor Russell came out with his message, millions now living will never die. Right after he left town, I published 5 or 10,000 in a book, "Millions Now Dying Will Never Live." You know how the people today are taking people to eternal hell, and there's one time they'll believe in it. That's 2 minutes after they get there. And the only thing that'll save you from that is God's marvelous grace and faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. Let's look to God in prayer. Now, our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that the entrance of thy word giveth light. Thou hast told us, our God, that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and by one man death passed upon all, because all have sinned. And thou hast told us, our God, that the word of God is quick and powerful and divides even to the piercing asunder, the dividing of soul and spirit, and is the discerner of the intents of the heart. Help us not, our God, to be deceived by the delusions of this day, the satanic cults that we have all about us. May we go to the Word of God and try the Spirit. And may we study to show ourselves approved unto thee, workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Help us to go back by faith to Calvary and hear the Lord Jesus Christ, who had said, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" When he said, "I have power to lay down my soul, I have power to take it again," and he made us his soul an offering for sin, He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Lord, may we go out of here not with those who draw back unto perdition, but those who believe unto the saving of the soul, receiving the end of our faith, even the salvation of our soul, and have the blessed assurance that we've already been raised up and made to sit down in the heavens in Christ. And when he comes, these bodies of humiliation will be fashioned like unto his body of glory. For our Father, if there are any here who have been deceived or deluded by these false teachings, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that right now thou wilt do that which we are unable to do. Enlighten them by thy infallible Holy Spirit and the Word of God. May they turn now to Calvary and receive the Lord Jesus Christ and the free gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We ask it in his name and for his sake. Amen.